This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And continuing in the theme, I suppose, of perception and misconception, our next story is about palm oil and the EU's negative campaign against it.
Now, Deputy Prime Minister Dr. Wan Aziza Wan Ismail said several French parliamentarians and political leaders have admitted the campaign against palm oil is unfounded. These views were apparently expressed during a meeting with Wan Aziza at a hotel in Paris. She said that these politicians note the negative campaign is baseless and admit that the Malaysian palm oil industry is not badly practiced as claimed. According to her, these MPs had visited Malaysia and felt that Malaysia has a good environment.
Apparently, they also expressed shock when informed that Malaysia still has more than 53% forest area cover and that Malayan tigers and orangutans are protected. Now, with that being said, I think you might have heard us say apparently a lot, and that's because the story really hasn't been commented on by any other Pakatan leaders. It made headlines when DPM Wan Aziza said this, and it was reported by Bernama.
So on Facebook, Primary Industries Minister Theresa Koch did weigh in, saying, "I am glad that these French MPs admitted their ignorance about oil palm planting in Malaysia." And we've also reached out to the French embassy, but they've declined to comment on this at this point in time.
So for me, I guess this question is that it all comes down to whether or not we are actually changing perceptions when it comes to palm oil, because increasingly it seems as if the feeling and perception that we have towards palm oil in our country domestically is starting to veer further and further away from where things sit internationally, because I'm not sure we're changing hearts and minds internationally at the moment. And even with our Deputy Prime Minister saying that no, we have, in France we have, I think I don't feel reassured simply because it's not been a public statement, has it?
Yeah. And also, if you look at how perceptions are looked at differently, if you look at the comments on the video, the Rangtan video that was apparently very impactful by Greenpeace, if you look at the comments on the version that it has on its first international release, the comments are very much anti-palm oil and oil palm. And if you look at the ones posted in Indonesia, the comments are like, "Hey, why are you hating on Indonesia? This is an attack on Indonesia's products."
Yeah.
So the perception seems to differ based on whether you are a country that actively sells it.
Well, broadly speaking, based on whether you're in the West or whether you are a palm oil producing country, right? That seems to be where that difference is lying. I mean, I agree. I've seen those comments and they have varied they've popped up in very strange places on the internet. Even things that I'm reading in my own leisure time, somebody talking about their makeup routine, for example, suddenly there it is. Someone saying, "I wish you would choose products that don't have palm oil."
Yeah.
"In my own life, I have done this, etc., etc." So, I mean, it is very anecdotal, but we are talking about perception. And so when it comes to this issue, I think we're not exactly winning internationally. Domestically, it's there, but internationally, it's hard.
Yeah, I think the argument surrounding palm oil is quite fierce and very emotive. But I feel as if, with oil palm, while I agree that it has a lot of faults and it isn't necessarily the best product or the best crop, but it feels like it has sort of become a lightning rod in this conversation about the environment. We have the same problems with cattle, with beef, but strangely not as emotive as when, people in the West talk about.
Well, depending, I think, on which groups you move in. Some groups, it's certainly very emotive. But let us know what you think. Are we winning this battle when it comes to the perception of palm oil or rather specifically oil palm being a negative crop, being just something that we shouldn't be encouraging because it's causing deforestation, etc.? How's the perception war going for us? Let us know. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we have on the line Koh Yu Ling, independent political analyst at Segi Enam Advisors. Yu Ling, thank you for joining us on the show. What has been the impact of anti-palm oil campaigns so far on the industry?
Well, if we look at palm oil exports, it's really quite a remarkable story of the increase of palm oil take-up all over the world. And, it's really triggered by the consumer goods companies converting to palm oil because it's been such a, technically good oil. And anti-palm oil campaigns are actually not new. We had issues in the 80s, early 90s, and that was successfully countered. And that was more in the U.S. When there were concerns about tropical Greece. And, you know, that was laid to rest, more or less. And, of course, what we have now is a bit more on the EU side, perhaps. And I would say it's also, I don't know whether we defined it as EU in general, because if we look in social media in general, the international opinion on palm oil is rather weak. So in terms of imports and usage of palm oil, if we want to focus on the EU, what we do see is that there has been broadly declining use in the traditional use of palm oil, which is in food. And then, of course, on the flip side, what EU has been importing a lot more is palm oil as a biofuel for biodiesel. So the decline in food has been countered by a rather big increase in biodiesel. So as a result, if you look at EU, palm oil use is rather flat trending. And I think from the food sector viewpoint, I think there's quite a lot of consciousness about the sustainability issues, which basically cover environmental, social, labor, and even questions about food safety, although that's a lot more recent. And if you look at some indicators from the food sector, you know, snack foods where palm oil has a lot of strength, technically speaking, and of course, you know, price points strong as well. I suppose one of the concerning factors is that the decline there is amongst the biggest within the food sector itself.
The French National Assembly has set into motion plans to ban palm biodiesel and end tax incentives on palm oil from the year 2020. And EU's resolution is to boycott the consumption of unsustainably produced palm oil by 2030. What will be the ramifications of these decisions?
I mean, if I may focus on at the EU level, what we have is a sort of a 2023 sort of a freezing. The volume of palm oil into biofuel sector for biodiesel. And by 2030, it's a sort of a phase out so that if there's a high risk palm oil, that would be phased out. But actually what it does retain is a palm oil that is audited and certified as low risk. So in a sense, yes, I mean, it's kind of said to be a boycott or a ban. But in actual fact, what's really happening is that there's a withdrawal of subsidy. So a lot of the palm oil that goes into EU is based on subsidizing its use in the EU, and that's what they're looking to phase out. So I guess it's kind of a worry for palm oil exporters because, and then they kind of call it a ban, although strictly speaking, it's not really, because I guess what you can do is provide low-risk palm oil to meet the EU standards, and the EU standards would then cascade into France and even other countries like Norway and other places.
We're speaking today to Kuo Yew Ling, independent political analyst at Sergi Anem Advisors, discussing this issue of perception when it comes to palm oil. We'll be continuing our conversation after this. BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We're talking about palm oil and more specifically the negative perception that it continues to have in the EU. We have Kuo Yew Ling, independent political analyst at Sergi Anem Advisors, on the line. Yew Ling, how do practices have to change here for Malaysian production to be certified low risk in order to meet standards that, you know, internationally they seem to be expecting?
Yeah, that's quite interesting because, I mean, the plantations already have been working quite hard on sustainability. And this is basically like the roundtable on sustainable palm oil. But, you know, that's mostly for food usages and like oleochemical usages. Oleochemical is basically for your home and personal care. So that sector should be distinguished from the sector that is being affected by these new regulations from the EU, this so-called indirect land use change. So what they seek to do is really put up a new set of regulations. So this would probably be then affected by other set of voluntary certification for biofuels. And, you know, one of the dominant certifiers there is an outfit called ISCC. So in order to comply with that right now, palm oil producers effectively need to have like methane capture facilities at their mills. And so the challenge for them now is that with this further regulation, which is challenging and worrying producers, but actually the opportunity is that they need to then source from areas which are low risk, and there are exempted sectors, and the exempted sectors are to do with palm oil grown from degraded land, and also palm oil grown by independent smallholders of less than 2 hectares in size. So those can be, as it were, collated, and you don't need to segregate it, actually. You just need to convince auditors that that's done properly. And in a way, it's an opportunity, but also the detailing is really quite challenging to achieve this. And on an overall basis, I think maybe one of the worries for Malaysia is that for these exempt sectors, maybe countries like Colombia, which has a palm oil and degraded land policy, that could have a bigger entry into EU going forward. And places like Indonesia, where the smallholder holding sizes tend to be smaller and in that sort of 2 hectares and below mark, they could theoretically try to supply the EU with independent smallholder palm oil, although that's not an easy task. So those are the exempted sectors, and the ideal is that you have exempted sectors like that, and those are the two. Or if you don't have exempted sectors, then what other people have to do is that you have to have put in additional efforts, and this would be beyond the normal, so that you increase your yield significantly, and then the EU would then allow the purchase of that additional output. So these are the additional practices or exempt sectors that would then be admissible as low-risk palm-based biofuels that could then continue to attract the subsidy from the EU.
How will palm oil buyers ensure that the product they buy is indeed quote-unquote low-risk?
Well, I mean, this low-risk is a new factor. It's a new regulation. So I think broadly speaking, in terms of timeline, there's a 2021 sort of thing to handle, and this is where they will review it. And I think there's an opportunity to try to clarify how this is going to be implemented, and for Malaysia, Indonesia, other producers would then make the case of, how are they going to adjust, or how they want the EU to consider how they will, comply with this. So I would think that would take sort of pilot projects to be able to show how some of the origins can then participate in the new regulation or the difficulties of it. And then they might try to lobby the EU that, for my, exempted smallholders, can we do it this way? Or how can we make it more readily doable? Or how is the additionality measured? So, there could be a need for, research and pilot projects to then, understand and try to adjust how the regulation is going to proceed. And that's from, both sides, right, to discuss the details of this. And then, of course, it's to do with then figuring out which part of our supply chain can more easily achieve this. But of course, I'm talking from a sort of very, commercial viewpoint on who wants to participate. Of course, at Malaysia, Indonesia and other countries, there's also more philosophical questions about, whether this is a fair policy. And of course, that's another, discussion as well.
So will creating better awareness on sustainable palm oil help to change the perceptions surrounding buying and using palm oil products?
Yeah, I think this perception is an interesting question. As a researcher, I have to read quite a bit of academic literature and I think this is where there's a bit of asymmetry, in the sense of there's a lot more reports generated, from researchers out in the West or other countries and where maybe in Southeast Asia there has been less research. And I guess maybe that's a question of, funding or focus. And it would be useful, I think, for people to have a better understanding of, smallholders, where and how have they benefited. I think to be convincing, we have to look at it. And I'm talking more from the policymaker viewpoint as opposed to public perception. I'm not sure, public perception and social media, it's not an easy task to, reverse or change public opinion. But let's say if we just talk at the policy level, maybe there's hope for Malaysia, Indonesia to put out more papers to influence this. I mean, for example, let me give you an example of what the South American researchers have put out. I mean, you know, EU is very, and others are very worried about deforestation. So, you know, places like Colombia, they have a clear policy that palm oil should only be planted on degraded land. And, you know, so in a way that looks as though Colombia can meet the EU new regulations. And, you know, they have supporting information like academic papers that show, you know, what happened across 400 years of history of Colombia with regard to their land and forests. So this is the kind of evidence information which then I guess people would typically present to their trade partners and say, look, you know, I'm serious about my palm oil policy is going to fit you because I have this. And of course, Malaysia also has some really great work because the ministry is talking about capping area of expansion. And, you know, in places like Peninsula, these are very old land use areas as well. And you know, this kind of data evidence would be useful to advance the discussion with EU and other countries that the oil that Malaysia could supply is from, you know, places that have already been planted previously with rubber or with coconut and has already been in use for, you know, 30, 40, 50, 70, 80 years. And it's far from recent deforestation.
Tun Mahathir has said that if the need arises, we will boycott EU products in response. Do you think this is the way to go? What would be the consequences of this?
Yeah, you know, there's always different levels of discussion. And I think, frankly, the world is not a very fair place. And, you know, there can be a lot of questions about the EU regulations as being, you know, not very even-handed between palm oil and other oils or even between developing and developed countries. So I think there's always a valid rejoinder that, you know, this is unfair. And then, of course, you know, from a political viewpoint, I think, you know, not being a doormat and standing up for yourself is important. But then on the other hand, there's also the fact that, you know, for commercial entities, they're not really in the political sphere. So they will then maybe be focusing on exactly what can they do and how can they achieve. So I think it's quite normal to have, you know, some sort of bad cop, strong talk as well as, you know, perhaps at a commercial level, a close look at, you know, what exactly can we do.
Yuling, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Kaw Yuling, independent political analyst at Sergi Enam Advisors, talking about the perception war currently being waged over palm oil. And so we've been asking you, there seems to be a big difference between how we view it domestically and how it's being viewed internationally. Do you think that we're doing well in this perception war? What else can be done? Call us and let us know, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So first up, we've got this from Azmin.
The fact is, humans still need vegetable oil. Only Kelapa Sawit has the highest yield oil volume per fruit weight.
And then Ritza says, is deforestation relevant for an excuse? If we clear a 10-hectare forest land for palm, aren't we replacing it with 10 hectares of green as well? And I think the issue there is that forest isn't just forest,
yeah.
Right? Forest is also, you know, where people...
Where animals live, essentially. I don't think animals prefer that sort of habitat.
Yeah, so it's habitat, but we're also talking about the people who used to be there and the people
right.
for whom forest was traditionally where they found their food. We're talking about Orang Asli and Orang Asal. So I think it's not that simple, but we welcome all those messages. Keep them coming. Again, those numbers, 7733-2900 to call, 018-789-8899 to WhatsApp, and you can tweet at BFM Radio.
Be free-minded. BFM. 89.9.
It's 7:06, and before we move on to our first story of the hour, we have received lots of messages on the subject of both water and palm oil, both of which we've been discussing today. Water, because it is World Water Day, and we wanted to tackle this issue of what is it going to take for us to be able to drink straight from our taps. And then palm oil, because why not? It's been going on for so long now, and the EU is, you know, the EU has been taking a firmer and firmer stance. So we have messages that have come through on the subject, including this from Zaidi.
Before his demise, the late Tun Dr. Lim King Yike, a former primary industries minister, proposed that the cash-rich plantation companies appoint an international palm oil ambassador and station him or her in Europe and the US. The ambassador's job is to counter the anti-palm oil lobbyists and smear campaigns 24/7. It's all about perception. It's time for the oil palm companies to finance the oil palm ambassador and employ King Yike's idea.
I think that point about it's all about perception is entirely key. And that's why we always end up debating this issue of whether or not, when you have such an emotive thing thrown in your face, right, as that ad, that famous ad that really kind of began this long-running conversation,
yep.
When you have that, how do you counter it? And when you do it with dry science, it doesn't always work. If you do it with emotions, again, we're on the losing side. So I think we're trying to figure out how to manage that perception. And this would definitely be one way of going about it. Kick Wing House says, EU political greenwashing. How sure is the EU that their certified palm oil sources are really sustainable? If the Volkswagen scandal can still occur, then I question their own judgment and expertise. And then Adrian's messaged in about water.
In regards to water, yes, I believe it's the piping from water treatment to our house that is causing the water to be dirty. So in countries where it's safe to drink water straight from the tap, what are they doing that's different from us?
Well, I think, what are they doing that's different from us? I'm not entirely sure, actually. And that is perhaps a question that we should have asked and that we can ask in the future. Going back to the issue of palm oil, Sylvester, I thought our country has been gearing towards a high-value economic model. Refining the technology around the plantation of palm oil and the downstream diversification of it would be of higher priority, no? Also, regarding the previous comment, if the earth collapses due to environmental impacts, who cares which countries have gone through industrialization?
And that's very fair, right? At the end of the day, if we don't make it out, you know, what's the point?
We also have a call from Yazid. Yazid, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening. I think we need to spend a bit of money in terms of marketing palm oil in the European countries. And I'm not talking about marketing this to the general public, but rather as money in terms of lobbying the right stakeholders or the decision makers in showing them why palm oil is very good. I mean, lobbying has been a very effective way in getting things in the market and having a staying power. Like you can see in the North America, for example, they have gun lobbyists. Despite people saying no to them, they are thriving. So I think the government, the palm oil board, should start thinking about creative strategies to ensure that palm oil remains relevant to the market in Europe. And as for water, I said use less water. Mm-hmm. I think we use too much water. I think we should be more like Singapore. Think more about conserving water.
Thank you so much for that. We are spoiled when it comes to our water. That's absolutely true.
And we don't think too much about how much of it we waste, right? Because it comes so easy to us. And I think on that point about palm oil, I think it's also very important we learn the trade secrets that some lobby groups in the US and the EU employ, because that's something I don't think we have to grasp on yet.
We also have this that's come through from Raj saying Malaysia should produce a world-class documentary when it comes to palm oil plantations. But I was chuckling because Chris Ng on Twitter has said, if it were the 1700s today, Europeans would colonize us for our palm oil. It's just that good. Moving on to our next message on the subject.
And it comes from Joshua, who says water shouldn't need to be drank straight from the tap. The quality needs to be such that boiling the water is good enough. And as for palm oil, we shouldn't be trying to fight with the EU, as we are most definitely going to lose. Politicians need to stop quoting and mirroring the response of Indonesia, because we don't have the population demand like Indonesia. We have no bargaining power.
Which is exactly what another listener, KW, said earlier, which is that, yeah, okay, fine, if we start boycotting, really, what kind of bargaining chip is that in the grand scheme of things? And then this also very astute message from Nat saying, I think our government has been too intent on playing the victim on this issue when we could have capped the expansion of oil palm before this, allowed more transparency for NGOs to map the expansion of the plantations and admit that palm oil has been a cause of deforestation. The recent issue in Sarawak regarding the deforestation near Mulu National Park just reflects that our government really has to do better in ensuring that our palm oil is sustainable. Counter the EU with palm with scientific information. Prove your future plans to be sustainable. Admit past sins. Do not cover it up and use cheesy slogans. And that is signed off, Concerned Nature Lover. Adnan also has a good idea.
Let's go up to the value chain. Don't sell them oil, sell them food enzymes, fatty oil, food substrates, and so on. We get to increase our knowledge. We should fight via technologies. We go up the industry ladder. If we do well, I believe that we can win.
And then Soraya says, I feel like this is an issue that can be taken as an opportunity for biotech companies. So in the same vein, especially in the agricultural R&D and genetic engineering companies to step up their game. Because yes, palm oil has many benefits, but major deforestation for the plantations is causing environmental impacts and destruction of the homes of orangutans. So I do feel it definitely needs to be studied and addressed.
Taking the science route is interesting, right? Because then that just means you are marketing palm oil, but in a much different way, going back to its scientific core, so to say.
Mohan is saying, why bother with the EU? Focus on other parts of the world and research alternative uses of palm oil for other products such as synthetic fibres. And then a government servant who wanted to be identified that way has messaged to say, actually, we have sustainable management for our forest and oil palm among the best. We should be proud of it. Outsiders are maybe jealous that oil palm is better than their soy or sunflower oil. That point about we have the best, I think it's interesting because it depends on who you speak to. So when you speak to, well, people from the government, more often than not, you do hear that. You do hear people saying, you know, touting our forest cover, touting how well we're doing. When you speak to environmentalists, on the other hand, it is an entirely different tune. And I'm curious as to whether or not it is a question of access to information or whether it is a different way of interpreting existing information when it comes to the matter.
Right. And whether through that marketing campaign, can we come to a middle ground where that nicely satiates what the EU really is getting at, the environmental damage, the environmental impact, and then still for us to be able to export palm oil products.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.